You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast. Encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Persistent prayer works. If you're facing a difficult circumstance, if you're believing God for a miracle, persistent prayer works. Perhaps you feel as though you're hanging on by a thread. Maybe you feel like quitting. Maybe you feel like everything's coming against you. Perhaps you cannot see how the future has anything good in store for you. There's power in persistent prayer. There's power when we approach our Heavenly Father in faith continually. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says this, "Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you." Verse 8, "For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." In Luke chapter 18, we see a powerful parable. Beginning at verse 1, "One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city," he said, "who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, 'Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy.' The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, 'I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests.' Then the Lord said, 'Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off?'" Now, we must understand that persistence is not desperation, it's faith. The very fact that I'm continually going to the Father is proof that I believe that there's power in prayer. Now, here I have a question. Because I've looked at scriptures like this, I've considered the power of persistent prayer, and the Bible is very clear that there is something to be said of persistence in prayer. That much we know with certainty. But here's my question. If God is sovereign, why does persistent prayer work? I want you to really think about that question. If God is sovereign, why do we pray? If ultimately, after all of our praying, all of our seeking his face, if ultimately after all of our utterances, God will simply accomplish his will, what's the point of praying? If none of us by persistence can persuade God, if none of us by persistence can move his hand, why do we pray? What is the point of praying persistently if ultimately God is going to do what he's going to do? Even in the scriptures where it seems as though men of God changed God's mind, we actually find upon a closer look that it was actually God's will that he did what he did. And it was actually God's will that they would even ask for his will to be accomplished. God is sovereign. God is in control. Yes, we have our free will, but within the sovereignty of God, we have our free will. And God ultimately will accomplish his purposes. So if God is sovereign, why pray? We know that the Bible says to pray persistently. I'm not saying we shouldn't. The Bible is very clear on that. But my question is, how does that work exactly? I mean, it's not like my prayers can move God. It's not like my prayers can force him to do something he never planned on doing in the first place. What exactly is the power of persistent prayer? Why exactly do we continually go to him? Why exactly do we continue to bring our requests before him in faith, if ultimately he is sovereign? I remember one time I was ministering in Southern California, and I was preaching for a friend of mine. I went to his church, about 30, 40 people in attendance, and it was a small gathering, but the power of God moved amazingly. There were miracles that took place that night. Now, I'll never forget that there were two people in the prayer line. Now, this, because the crowd was so small, was at a time that I would actually be able to lay hands on every single person who was sick. In those meetings, we were able to do that because there weren't as many people attending. And so I was going down this prayer line, laying hands on various individuals, And I'll never forget, there was a woman there who had been blind. I don't recall if she had been blind since birth or if she had been blind for several years. Either way, it was a very long time that she had spent in blindness. And I remember laying hands on her, and as I'm praying for her, she's crying out to God. I mean, tears are streaming down her face. She's saying, please, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord, heal me. And I remember praying for her and her receiving some of her sight back. She hadn't seen shadows. She hadn't seen light in a very long time. And she began to cry and say, I can see light. I can see shadow. I can see people moving. She started pointing at movement in the room that she beforehand wasn't able to see. And it was wonderful, but she didn't receive the fullness of her healing. And I remember feeling such compassion for her, wondering, God, why don't you heal this lady? Please, Lord, do the miracle. She received a partial healing, but not a full one. I go down the prayer line. I continue to pray for people. This mother brings her son up to the altar. Now, this boy had gone to a party. He snuck out of his house. He went to a party that he should not have gone to. He was doing things that he should not have been doing. And I remember the story they told me. They said that one of his so-called friends put something in his drink. And when he drank that spiked drink, he lost a good portion of his eyesight. His eyes became very blurry. And I remember he came up to the front and he was crying and he was saying, I want God to heal me, please. We prayed for him. And the moment we released the action of faith that God led me to release, the moment we began to really engage and pray for him, he got healed. And it was wonderful. He began to cry. His mother began to cry. He had received his healing. But I remember leaving that service and I just could not figure out what God was doing. I said, Lord, and this was me thinking as a Pharisee, very religious mindset. I said, Lord, that boy didn't deserve his healing. He snuck out of his house. He did something he shouldn't have been doing. He was in a place he should not have been. And as a result of his foolishness, he became blind, or at least close to being blind. That woman, through no fault of her own, was lost in total darkness. Why, Lord, why? Why didn't you heal the woman? Why did you heal the boy and not the woman? You could have healed them both. And I said, Lord, if that was the case, what did you even need me for? Why did I even need to lay hands on any of them? If you ultimately decided that you weren't going to heal the woman at that moment and you were going to heal the boy, what was it, Lord, that you needed me for? Why was I there to lay hands on people? Now, this question went around in my head for a couple days. I couldn't get that lady's face out of my head. And I realized, the Holy Spirit had to rebuke me, that God cared for that woman more than I did. And that there are reasons and there are things that God does that we don't always understand. And there are reasons he has that aren't always immediately apparent. But still, it left me wondering this question, why pray if ultimately God does what he does? What is the power of persistent prayer exactly? Well, you have to see God's will like a river. That river is going where it's going. That river isn't going to change directions. When I pray persistently, it doesn't change the direction of the river. It puts me in the river. God is not the one resisting our persistent prayers. Fallen creation is what resists our prayers. We pray not to convince God, but to position ourselves. Why does God need us to pray, or why does God work it to where we have to pray in order to see a thing unfold? It's because God desires to partner with us. You see, God has a will. The creation is fallen. And there are things that take place in creation that are outside of the will of God. Now, this doesn't mean that he ultimately doesn't have control over it. He will bring his purposes about. But there are certain things that he leaves to you and I. Let me show you something. Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 through 8 say this. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them? Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims the ocean current. So then, man is the one to whom God has given the responsibility of caring for and ruling in this world. This creation is under our responsibility. Now, I speculate that this is training for eternity when God will entrust us with heavenly things. But for whatever reason, God has given us that authority in the earth. So then, when I pray persistently, it's not that I'm trying to persuade God to do anything. It's not that He doesn't want to do it. It's that He's left it up to us, and there's something about our free will that He chooses to not violate. And in that partnership with God, in that place of prayer, I begin to see the shift in creation. I'm not trying to move the hand of God. I'm trying to move creation into His will. When I pray persistently, I'm not trying to persuade God. I'm partnering with God. I'm enforcing His will in the earth. So in that situation, it wasn't that God didn't want the woman to be healed. It's that creation was resisting. It's that doubt had taken deep root. It's that there was something about that situation that wasn't quite aligned with the will of God. And by continuing to pray, we pull these things into the will of God. I would even say it like this. The greater the miracle that is needed for the situation, the heavier the weight of that miracle. And the more pooling we have to do in the Spirit. Again, this isn't desperation. This isn't begging God to respond. You know I've talked about this in the past, and I don't believe that the believer needs to be desperate. I don't believe that we have to persuade God to do anything. But there are some things in this world that He leaves in our care. And this is the balancing truth, this truth about persistent prayer. God is the one who created all things. We weren't even there. Think about this. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then Job 38:4 says this, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you know so much. Whereas God started the world, He gave us the responsibility of stewarding and shaping the world. Genesis 1:28 says this, then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along. I'll give an example. Think about the device you're watching me on. Maybe you're watching me on a phone. Maybe you're watching me on TV. Maybe on a computer. Do you realize that that device that you're watching this or listening to this on has already existed? All of the materials, everything that is there in that device existed in the earth. It just had to be reshaped, reformed. It had to undergo a certain process to become what it is now. It's not as if we're gathering new material to make cars and buildings and technological devices. It's simply that we are shaping those things which are already here. In other words, God started the world. You and I shape the world. That is our responsibility in creation. So persistent prayer isn't, again, persistent prayer isn't persuading God. It's pooling creation. It's partnering with God. When we pray persistently, we are, by the Spirit, grabbing hold of those wandering, broken pieces of creation and pooling them into their rightful place. So, the Bible teaches that we must pray persistently, not in desperation, but in faith. Why, if God is sovereign? Simply because that is the partnership He's chosen to have with us. We are the ones through whom God works to establish His will. Now, this doesn't mean that God loses sovereignty. This simply means that there are certain things that He has left to our cares, to our persistent prayers. God's not fighting us. He's teaching us to pool and to shape creation. So here's where we are on the matter. Persistent prayer isn't about convincing God to do anything. Persistent prayer is about passionately partnering with what God already wants to do. So why doesn't God just manifest His will without our prayers? It's because He has chosen to work with our free will, and He has chosen to give us dominion over the earth. So then if God wills something and we come into agreement with what He wills, shouldn't the miracle result? Yes. So then why doesn't the miracle happen sometimes? And with that, we simply trust Him. Our part is to pray. God's part is to do whatever He wants to do in response to that prayer. In the meantime, you and I are instructed to hopefully, faithfully, with confidence, pray persistently. Keep praying. You're pulling creation into the will of God. Keep praying. You are shaping the world around you. It's not that we've been given ultimate power to speak things into existence as some teach. That's superstition. Only God can speak things into existence. You and I don't speak things into existence. We speak things into order. God creates, we cultivate. God starts, we shape. This is the stewardship that God has given to us. Persistent prayer, quite simply, is good stewardship. It's faith-filled stewardship.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.